What do you guys think we're talking about today?
Peace.
Talking about peace. All right, so 2 weeks ago we talked about love.
Yeah.
You guys good?
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Wait, so Audrey, my 16th last year, Audrey got me another stocking bracelet, so I got her. But she didn't have one, so I got her a bracelet.
Tell me more.
You want to see it?
No.
I will say you weren't caught with one money. Remember?
Okay, so 2 weeks ago we talked about love. Then last week we talked about joy, how we can have joy. What does it take to have joy, what we talked about last week? What do you need to do? That was 2 weeks ago. Thank you. That was good. Yes. That will help you have more joy as well. That's not what we talked about last week. What does it take to have joy? You have to change something.
Be happy much. Don't worry.
Joy and happiness are not exactly the same thing. They're related. You have to change something in order to have joy. We looked at, very close. We looked at Saul and how he was upset with the ladies that were all excited for David. We looked at Jesus and his they're close. No, not exactly. I mean, all these things are good. What? Closer. Oh, that's right along the right path. Jesus, he had joy for the suffering that was set before him. We looked at that in Hebrews. That's not exactly a quote. I can't remember exactly how the verse goes, but because he was looking to the future about what was happening after the cross, so he wasn't as, he could still have joy even though he's getting ready to go through suffering.
Don't even look at him.
Because it was all about his
mindset?
No, that's what he said.
Bible?
I don't, this word's probably not in the Bible.
POV.
Yeah.
What if you?
Yeah, but another word for that.
POV. Oh, say that.
Perspective, yeah, change your perspective. I don't think perspective's in the Bible, but I think it's a good enough Bible. Like it's Bible adjacent if it's not actually in the Bible. So yeah, changing your perspective and looking at things, you know, with more of an eternal mindset or more of a, okay, I am going through this difficult thing, but beyond it, I can still have joy because I'm not as concerned about this moment or I'm not as concerned about who gets the glory, so I don't have to be happy that somebody else is getting the glory in the case of David and Saul. But I can still have joy because it's not about me and it's not about what I'm going through or what I'm dealing with. It's about the Lord and shifting my perspective. Okay, so this week we're going to look at peace. And so when I was a kid and a teenager and maybe even in my young adult years, there was a lot of talk about world peace. That was like the standard, if you ask a politician or a celebrity, you know, like what was something that they wanted or wished for, I feel like it was like every beauty pageant contestant's answer when they asked like if you could change one thing and like, or if you could get one thing, it was always world peace. I feel like everybody was always talking about world peace when I was a kid. And, they wanted, you know, peace from war. They wanted all these different places that were dealing with, you know, human trafficking and slavery and, you know, just war-torn things and child soldiers and all these different ideas. They wanted worldwide peace. And, I don't really feel like we talk about world peace anymore. Do you guys hear about world peace ever? Do people talk about world peace, huh? I don't feel like I really hear about it anymore. I don't know exactly why that is. I mean, I think people still, in general, want peace. Maybe technology has changed that. Like when even as a young adult, like when I graduated high school in 2003, smartphones did not exist yet. You could not stream videos on the internet. I mean, the internet existed. I remember when the internet started. When I graduated high school, the internet existed, but it was not like it is now. And so we got all of our news from the news and from TV, and we were limited in the information that we had access to. I feel like now we can, you know, we can pull out our phones and we can see videos from all over the world. We can see good things happening, bad things happening. And I feel like it's kind of, to a certain extent, desensitized us to, you know, some of this, some of the things that happen in the world. We don't really get overly concerned about anything anymore because you can't get so emotionally invested in everything because there's so many things to get emotionally invested in. And so we don't really get super attached to anything that we see anymore. So even when things are bad, and even then, even when we do look at a situation, can you guys stop doing whatever you're doing? What are you guys doing?
I don't know. What are we doing?
I don't know either.
What are we
doing? Okay. Well, just don't do that anymore.
Silas just likes to touch on people.
Well, stop touching people, Silas. Okay, so anyways, we get so desensitized to things and we don't get as emotionally invested because we cannot get as emotionally invested in everything that we see now just because there's so much of it. There's so many things. And so even when there are situations where, you know, we want peace in, you know, places that are at war, like, you know, I don't want countries or nations to be at war with each other, but, you cannot, you know, get so emotionally invested in every single thing that we see. And so when we're talking about peace, in the sense of the fruit of the Spirit, that's not the kind of peace that we're talking about. But the Bible uses peace a few different ways. So if you look in the book of Leviticus, I don't know how many times peace shows up there. It's like 30 or 40 times it shows up in the book of Leviticus talking about peace offerings. Okay, so it uses the word peace in the context of peace offerings. It also talks about someone holding their peace, like not saying something even when maybe they want to say something. Oftentimes it's used to talk about someone dying in peace. So in the Bible, the first mention of the word is talking about, you know, how they can, how Abraham can die in peace knowing, you know, that his family is going to continue on. Sometimes it's used to talk about peace between nations. You know, Israel was at peace, with their enemies during the reign of Solomon, things like that. Sometimes it's peace between people, you know, like people are not, you know, arguing or whatever with each other. They're at peace. Jesus even uses the word peace at least one time. He says, "Peace, be still," right, to calm the waters during the storm. So it's used a lot of different ways. But in Galatians 5:22, where we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, that use of the word peace is defined as quietness or rest or being set at one again, like, you know, being refreshed or recharged or you know, just having peace in our life. And so I do think that is something, you know, no matter where we are all at, I think we all desire to have peace in our lives. You know, like, life can be chaotic. And so having peace, you know, coming home from a long day of, you know, school or work or something like that, and just like being able to rest and relax for, you know, even a few minutes. Or if you're going through like a difficult, you know, situation in your life, being able to like have some peace and just, you know, maybe sit and not think about what's going on in your life. We all, you know, we all cling to and want to have peace in our life to recharge. So I listened to, you guys, I think I've talked about it here before. I listened to Dave Ramsey. He's a financial guy. He has a program. Yes. Are you taking foundations in personal finance?
I'm taking personal finance.
Yeah. He does have a high school curriculum.
She didn't even grade our test right. She wrote the test out and didn't even know how to grade. And then she said this paper wasn't worth a grade, and then the next day she's like, yeah, I'm grading it.
Everything for us is digital.
No. Mm. It's in the computer lab, but she powers down the computers and doesn't want to see it.
Nice. Well, his class or his course that he's taught for, I mean, we took it when my wife and I were like married 1 year maybe 2 years. Early on in our marriage, we took it at our church in Phoenix. But it's called Financial Peace. And he talks about how you can have peace with your finances. And he has, you know, these 7 baby steps that he uses and to help people to establish peace when it comes to their finances. So most of America today is in debt on houses, cars, credit cards, student loans, personal loans, loans to family members, you know, all these different kinds of things people get stressed out about their finances because they're out of control. They're chaotic. They don't have peace with them because They don't have a plan most of the time. Most people are not, you know, living on a budget. Most people are not, you know, dealing with their finances in an intentional way. So they live from paycheck to paycheck. They get a paycheck on Friday and they spend most of it over the weekend. They have to, you know, get through till the next week when they get paid again. And it's just this constant cycle of everything that comes in turns around and goes back out again. And so Dave Ramsey's, you know, plan, you know, whether you agree with it or not, his goal is to help people to have peace when it comes to their finances. You know, like, have a plan of what you're going to do with the money before it gets into your checking account or into your wallet or whatever. Like, what are you going to do with this money when it gets there? That way, when you have a plan and you spend it on purpose and you're intentional with the way that you're handling your finances, you can start to have peace over that because there's a plan and you have, you can look into the future and you can say, okay, if I do these things that I'm planning on doing, I can get this debt paid off and I can get this thing that's hanging over me out of my life. Let's open up to Proverbs chapter 4. Most people do not have peace in a lot of areas of their life, but specifically with their finances. You know, if someone was to lose a job or even, you know, just when gas prices go up or grocery prices go up or, you know, something breaks at the house, like all of these things can be, you know, big stressors because people, most people are not financially prepared to handle something like that. They don't have the money set aside. They don't have a way to pay for that. That's not going to result in them accumulating more debt. Yes. Oh, yes. Proverbs 4, verse 26.
Ponder the path of thy feet and let all the ways be established.
Okay, so ponder is like consider or like think about. So think about where you're going. Like ponder the path of your feet. What have a plan with your life. So when we're talking about finances specifically, like you should have a plan with your finances. People should have plans with their finances. Most people do not. You know, sadly, like a lot of people don't have plans just for their life in general. You guys are at a stage in your life where, you know, the next 5 years of your life, you know, 5 years from now will look maybe dramatically different than where you are now. In 5 years, all of you guys will be out of high school. Some of you guys will be married in 5 years. Some of you guys will be in college. Some of you guys will have a career path that you're on. Some of you guys won't live in this city or this state anymore. Like, I don't know where all of you guys are going to go. Some of you guys don't have any idea where you're going to go. That's okay, but like you're at the stage of life where like having a plan, pondering the path of your feet is important. Like you got to start making those plans. Are you going to go to college when you graduate? What are you going to get a degree in? If you're not going to go to college, what's your plan? Are you going to get a job? Are you going to go to trade school? Like there's lots of different options and you don't have to do any of them. But like you got to have a plan of some kind of what you want to do. Otherwise, just like with your finances, with people's finances, you'll just kind of go from one thing to the next thing. And whenever something pops up, that's what you'll do. And until that doesn't work anymore, and then you'll change to something else. And not having a plan leads to not having peace. Like if you have a plan, you at least know where you're going. Even if it means, okay, it's going to suck. I'm going to have to go through 4 years of college. I don't really, not really looking forward to this and this and this aspect of college, but I know that when I'm done, I can get a job doing this thing that I really want to do. So I have peace knowing that even though I have to go through 4 years of schooling or, you know, maybe you're going to go to the military. Okay, I don't want to go through boot camp and I don't want to go through the hard stuff, but I do want to be able to travel the world and be stationed all over the place. And I want to be involved in, you know, protecting America and those kinds of things. Okay, well, you can go through difficult times to get to something on the other end. You can still have peace knowing that there's a plan in place. I don't know if any of you guys watch Mike Blake. He posts like reels on Facebook or little short videos of stuff, on their church Facebook page all the time. And the ones he's been posting recently, he's got like, military like war paint on his face and he's wearing like this dirty, like, it's like a black sweatshirt, but it's like got bleach spots all over it or something. But he looks like he just like got done like living outside for a week. He's posted several videos looking like that. I don't know if it's something they're going through series wise at their church or not, but he was talking about the book of Proverbs, and I've never heard anybody say this before, but of course Mike Blake always has interesting ways of saying or thinking about things. But he's talking about Proverbs, and he said pro, like in a positive sense, verbs, action, like like having like doing positive actions. If you read the book of Proverbs, it should. It's a book of wisdom. It's going to give you like ideas and ways to positively change the actions in your life, like the things that you're doing. I just thought that was interesting, just breaking down the word Proverbs into proverbs. And just, you know, that's how Mike is. He just says random stuff, and some of it sticks. And but I just thought that was really good, a good way to look at the book of Proverbs. And so, you know, having a plan, having considering the path of our feet, and let all thy ways be established. Like, that's going to give us peace if we can develop some control over the things that we can control. Now, all of us can have, you know, we can have plans, we can have all these grand ideas about what we want to do, and you know, those things sometimes change, right? I mean, sometimes our plans don't go the way that we had them laid out, and we have to pivot or make changes to those, and that can be stressful, but not having a plan at all is not a viable option. Having a plan, even if you have to change it, is better. We talked about anxiety over the summer with that survey I had you guys take. If you struggle with anxiety, having a detailed plan will give you some control over your life, and it will help you to know what comes next. And the anxiety can, you know, calm down to some extent, knowing that you have a plan and that you know where you're going. That's going to give you a sense of peace, which is the opposite of anxiety. Not knowing what's going to happen next and not having any kind of a plan is going to result in having more anxiety, because you don't know what to expect next. It's this life of chaos, and that's not how we should live our life. So when we're talking about having peace in the sense of the fruit of the Spirit, if we're going to walk in the Spirit, the fruit that's going to happen in our life is that we're going to start to portray or live out these things, these love and joy and peace. So how does walking with the Lord, or walking in the Spirit, how does that give us peace? Well, when we start our walk with the Lord, we usually develop some kind of a routine. So like that may include attending church services on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, and attending youth events when they come up, and things like that. And maybe it should include spending time reading our Bible. You know, a lot of people, when you're reading your Bible, you kind of have a time of the day that you do that. I typically read my Bible at night after everyone else is in bed. It's quiet, and that's usually when I do most of my reading and my studying and preparing to teach and those kinds of things. Some people read in the morning. I would prefer probably to do that, but when I try to read in the morning, I usually end up falling asleep. So it's better for me to read at night. But you kind of develop a routine. You know, when do you pray? You know, when do you do those kinds of things? When you start to establish some order and some structure in your life around spiritual things, you know, if you're going through discipleship, your discipler probably will try to find, hey, what night of the week works best for you? Let's try to stick with the same night. That way you just know, block out that evening on your calendar, so that, you know, you don't put anything else on that. And if we have to change every once in a while, that's okay. But you just know, you know, on Monday nights, that's when I do discipleship. So I'm not going to put other stuff on that day. And so you start to establish some structure and some order to your spiritual life. And that starts to bring peace, because you know you have a plan. And none of this happens, I mean, love, joy, peace, long stuff, and none of these fruits of the Spirit happen overnight just because we decide that we want to have those things. It takes time. But as you establish a plan and a routine, you can start to see into the future. Okay, if I go through Get a Life right now, that's going to take me 6 months, or it's going to take me 8 months, or it's going to take me a year, or whatever. And then when I'm done with that, and I get into high school, you guys are in high school now, and I'm going to go through Discipleship 1. Okay, that's going to probably take me like a year, maybe a little bit longer. And then maybe like when I'm a senior in high school, I can start in D2, and I can take that. And you can kind of start to lay out some of these steps in your life, and it can start to give you some peace, because you have a plan and you know spiritually kind of where your life is headed. And then, okay, when I graduate high school, okay, I know I don't know exactly what I want to do yet, but I just want to serve the Lord, and I'm really good at this thing. I'm good. I have this skill. How can I use that to serve the Lord? How can I use that, you know, to further the mission of God? Maybe I'm going to start my own business, and so I'm going to be interacting with people all the time. And, you know, I can use that as a way to share the gospel with people. Or whatever it is, like, you know, just start to develop a plan. It's not going to happen overnight, but if you don't have any kind of a plan, or you don't even start to try to make a plan, you'll look up and it'll be, you know, 5 years from now, you'll be out of high school, you'll be living in your mom's basement, and you're not going to have any kind of a, you know, a career path. You're not going to be walking with the Lord. Our default setting as human beings is not to follow the Lord, not to walk with the Lord. It's to serve our flesh in whatever way that looks like for you. It doesn't have to be super sinful. It could just be, I'm just not walking with the Lord because I didn't make a plan to walk with Him and I didn't, like, exercise that out every day. I didn't do the steps. Because our default is, you know, wake up, go to school, come home, play video games, play on my phone, eat dinner, go to my room by myself, goof around in there, read a book, whatever, go to bed, get up and do it the next day. Oh, I forgot to read my Bible. It's been a week since I even opened it. It's Sunday morning. I don't even know where my Bible is because I haven't used it all week. That's kind of our default setting as humans, is we're not actively looking for the things of God. And so, you know, when we start to develop a routine in our life, when we start to, like, actually do the things that we plan to do, we start to have peace, like spiritual peace in our life, because we have a plan and we know where we're headed and we have an idea of what that might look like. So when it comes to, back to the financial side of things, when it comes to finances, you know, Dave Ramsey's thing is to get out of debt and to not have any more payments going out so you can keep more of the money that comes in. You're not paying it out on all this debt that you owe. Then you save up an emergency fund. So in case something happens, a medical emergency or you lose a job or a car breaks down, you don't have to freak out about those things because you have some money set aside for just a situation like that. And then from there, he has you investing for the future. So I get calls at the church probably on average at least once a week of people in our community that are just Googling churches in Harrisonville or churches in Cass County, and they're just going down the list and they're just calling all of them looking for financial help of some kind. You know, I need help with my water is going to get turned off tomorrow if I don't get this bill paid. Can you guys help? I don't have any gas in my car. I'm living in my car and I have a family, and can you guys put us up in a hotel for a night? Like those kinds of things. Or some of the, you know, the harder ones sometimes is the ones that we get from elderly people. I'm 75 years old. I'm living in, you know, some government assisted housing. I don't have any money saved, and I have this thing that came up and I need $500. You know, they're too old or they're disabled. They're not able to work. And so it's like, well, where are you going to come up with this money at? It's very sad to think about people in that situation. I mean, not every week, but pretty much every week, almost every week, I get a call like that from somebody. And, you know, so one of Dave Ramsey's steps is to set aside money to invest it for the future. So when you get to retirement age, I know you guys aren't thinking actively about when you're 65 years old now, but it comes fast. But if you set aside a little bit of money and invest it, then when you get to be in a retirement age, then you have some money and you have, you won't have to rely on the generosity of others, or you won't have to, you know, call a bunch of churches looking for help when you can't do it on your own because, you weren't just a little bit more diligent throughout your life. And I'm not shaming those people that are in that situation. I'm just saying a little bit of planning in your 20s and in your 30s and in your 40s will go a long ways in being able to have some money set aside when you get to retirement age. And it makes life just a lot less stressful. I mean, when you talk to someone who's 70 years old who can't work and they have no money, I mean, that's just a stressful situation to find yourself in. Any small problem that comes up, I mean, a couple $100 car repair or a new set of tires is going to just totally derail anything you're trying to do financially. And so just having a little bit of money set aside is going to help cause a lot more peace in our life. And so from a spiritual standpoint, you know, you have to go through like the reps of reading your Bible every day, spending time in prayer, praying for other people, praying for stuff that's going on in your own life, you know, going through discipleship. That's not an easy thing to do. Discipleship too, there's homework involved. You have to, you know, like actually do things. You have to study things out. You have to prepare to teach a devotion of some kind. You know, if you get into HBI, now you're looking at 4 years of, you know, like 6 hours a week of class time and, you know, assignments, you know, and reading books. And there's just a lot of things that go into it. But if you want to, you know, serve the Lord with your life, if you want to, you know, get to the point where you're able to, you know, like use the information that you're learning, you got to go through some of those difficult times. You have to make the investments now, early on in your life, so that when you get older, you have something to like fall back on, some knowledge and some wisdom in your life that comes from, doing the little things. Nobody sees, you know, whenever somebody gets up in the morning and they read their Bible and they go through the daily steps, nobody's seeing that, right? You're not going to get people saying like, man, good job reading your Bible today. You know, like most people aren't going to know. Maybe your parents will notice that, or siblings if you have siblings. But most people, like your friends at school, are not necessarily going to see you or notice that that's what's happening. And, you know, you're not going to get a lot of, you know, credit or encouragement or praise from people for doing those little things behind closed doors. But, you know, you'll look up and a couple years have gone by and your life, the way you're living your life is totally different. The way you talk is different. The things that you listen to, the things that you allow into your mind have changed because you've done the little things throughout, you know, over a period of time, throughout weeks and months and years. Those are the kinds of things that help you develop a pattern in your life and will start to give you some peace. Turn to Romans chapter 5. So like with all of these fruits of the Spirit, when we talked about it before we got into even the first one, we're talking about we only can have fruit, we can only bear fruit when we abide in Christ and Christ abides in us. Right, John chapter 15, we looked at that a couple different times. So obviously in order to have any of the fruit of the Spirit, you need to be saved. Now, lost people can have love, lost people can have joy, lost people can have peace, but not the kind of love, joy, peace that we're talking about here. These are spiritual, these are fruits of the Spirit. And we only get these things when we're saved. Once we're saved, these things become available to us. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Somebody read that for me.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, if you were to read chapter 4, so when the chapter starts off saying therefore, it's referencing what it just talked about. So if you go back and you read all of chapter 4, which we're not going to do, it's going to talk about justification and faith. And so, therefore, based on all the things that we just said in chapter 4, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. It's because of our salvation through Jesus Christ that we can be at peace with God. If you've been through discipleship, the first lesson talks about salvation. It talks about, you know, when we're born physically, we're born into the devil's family. And we're at odds with God. Now, God is not at odds with us. God loves us. Even in our sinful state, even when we're lost, God still loves us. But we are at odds with God. We are on the opposite team from Him. There's a spiritual battle going on, a spiritual war going on that we don't even know anything about as babies, as children, right? A lot of your friends in high school don't know that there's a spiritual battle going on around them all the time. If you guys have been in this church, all of you guys have been here for some period of time, you guys know that there's spiritual battles going on, but and if you're lost, you're on the other side. You're at opposition to God. Now, God's not looking to take you out. He's looking to recruit you to His side, right? He sent an ambassador to die for us so that we could join His side. But when we're born physically, we're at odds with God. So being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We become at peace with God, no longer at war or at odds with Him, when we accept Christ as our Savior. That gives us one, like, level of peace. We no longer are at odds with God. That gives us some peace, some supernatural peace. Flip over to Philippians chapter 4. I don't have any other way to say this, but it's going to be verses 6 and 7, so just get it out while you flip there, and then it is what it is. I mean, there's... Huh? Philippians chapter 4.
Verses.
I was looking it up and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. This is verses 6 and 7. Every week we're reading a verse 6 and 7 from something. It's not on purpose. It's really not intentional. I would have preferred if this was verses 5 and 6 or something else, but the ones we need to read are verses 6 and 7. So, somebody read 6 and 7.
Colossians or Philippians?
Philippians, chapter 4.
Be careful for nothing, and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Okay, what does be careful for nothing mean? You may know?
Don't care
Huh? Yeah. Yeah, like don't get over anxious about something. Like don't stress out. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. What's supplication mean? Anybody know what that word means?
Supplication.
Supplication, not suffocation. Those things are different. Yeah, like supplication is like a request. So in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So don't worry about, don't stress about things. Whatever situation you find yourself in everything, go to God in prayer and request with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So when you do those things, when you find yourself in a situation where when you're lost or when you're not walking with God, when you don't have peace with Him, you might, in a normal situation like that, be stressed out. You might be feeling anxious about the situation. Don't do that. And I know this is difficult to, it's easy to read and to kind of talk about in a philosophical or like a hypothetical type of way. But think about a situation in your life that you've been stressed out because you don't know what's going to happen next, or because something's out of your control, or just a difficult situation that you find yourself in. This passage is telling us, hey, don't stress about those things. But in every situation, whatever situation you find yourself in, man, go to God in prayer. And then it says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. It doesn't make sense to our like logical minds. It doesn't make sense to our carnal minds. The level of peace that we can get. How do we look at people like, maybe you guys don't know a lot about, you know, what Christians have gone through in history, but I think we all know Christians have suffered persecution since the time that Jesus Christ died and rose again, right? You can go all the way back to the book of Acts and you can see Stephen getting stoned for preaching a message. And since then, there's been millions and millions more that have died for their faith in one way or another, burning Christians at the stake and all these just like terrible things to torture them and to get them to renounce their faith or to turn their back on God. How can some of those people, you read stories about people getting burned at the stake and they're singing while they're on fire. Like how can a person do that? That having that level of peace doesn't make any sense logically. Like who's going to be lit on fire for having a relationship with the Lord and being unwilling to renounce Him, and while they're suffering, while they're literally dying, they're singing praises to God for being able to, for God even allowing them to go through the suffering that they're going through. That doesn't make any sense. How can that person do that? They have peace that passes understanding. They're at peace with God. They have the peace of God. And it passes all human understanding. We can't really totally wrap our minds around it. But that person knows, hey, in a few minutes, I'm going to be dead. Praise the Lord. Because when I'm gone, what happens? I get to go to heaven. Flip to Philippians chapter 1. This is why I was asking, babe, if you looked at my notes for this. That first song that we sang. We literally sang these words in that first song. Brenda and I did not plan that. I didn't know what songs we were going to be singing. But somebody read verses 21 to 24.
For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait that wicks to, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you.
Okay, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He's like, if I die, the worst thing that somebody can do to me is kill me. Right? Maybe I suffer before I die, but ultimately, the worst thing that someone can do to us on this earth is kill us. And Paul's like, that's gain. I get to be in a better situation if that happens. So if the worst case scenario is death, which results in a better, you know, situation that we find ourselves in, if we can kind of somehow wrap our mind around that, and I'm not wishing death on anybody, I'm not wishing death for myself, right? But like if that's the worst case scenario is death, and then we get to go to heaven. Like that's, heaven is the worst thing that somebody might do to us. But then he goes on to say like, hey, I'm really stuck in this position because I want to spend eternity in heaven. I just want to go there now. but it's needful for me to be here with you guys. Paul said, like, I need to be here so I can teach you guys and write these letters and go on the mission and go from town to town preaching the gospel. I need to do those things. But man, I'll tell you what, I would much rather not be here anymore. Paul going through various different levels of suffering and, you know, just having gone through shipwrecks and being beaten and all the terrible things that happened in Paul's life. He's like, man, my body hurts. I'm ready to be done with all of this. But nevertheless, you know, God has me here for a reason, and I'm going to keep doing what he has me here to do. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. I'm going to read them. You can turn there if you want to. But Romans 8, 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Nobody? No one? And then he goes on and gives a list. Shall tribulation? No. Or distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? Peril? Sword? No, none of those things. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's true of Christians throughout history, that they've been killed. It was true of the Israelites in the Old Testament, and it's true of Christians in the New Testament. Nay, verse 37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Think about like what that is saying. All of the suffering and all the death and all these millions and millions of people that have been killed all the day long, they're the ones that are conquerors. They're the ones that have overcome something. They're the ones who won. How is that possible? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So he gives us this whole list of things, and he's like, man, none of these things can separate us from God. That's, ultimately, if you can try to wrap your mind around this idea that no matter what people do or say, the worst case scenario for you is eternity in heaven. And nothing, there's nothing on this earth or nothing not on this earth that can separate us from God once we've accepted Christ as our Savior. There's no way that we can lose that. That is the kind of thing that, if you can wrap your mind around that, begins to give you peace. Hey, I have a mission and a purpose. What's our mission? Go ye therefore, right? Teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you all the way, even to the end of the world. We have a mission. We have a purpose. God has us here for a reason. That having a plan and having a structure in our life should give us a level of peace. But then also knowing our future is taken care of. Right? Like, the worst thing that's going to happen to me is I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. Boo-hoo for me. Right? Now, while we're here, we should be doing things and investing in the future. Right? Talking to people about Jesus. Things that are going to last forever. We should be laying up treasure in heaven for ourselves. But even if we end up with no treasure in heaven, at least we're in heaven, right? Like, we can have peace knowing that we have a plan and a purpose here, and that there's a future for us that is beyond our wildest dreams. Like, it's better than anything that we could experience or imagine here on the earth. And those are the kinds of things that start to give us peace in our life. That's how we can have the fruit of the Spirit. Is again somewhat changing our perspective or shifting our, you know, our mentality a little bit, helps to give us that level of peace and understanding that, man, like, we have, I mean, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And so when we kind of wrap our mind around the fact that he's ours, we can talk to him whenever we want, that should give us some peace as well. Does anybody have any questions about any of that?